Please do turn to this Psalm 119. As I began this evening by quoting the very first verse, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." And this evening, just for a shorter time, ministers always say that, but a shorter time, a devotional thought from this psalm before we sing our closing hymn and prepare to go over to mourn for the concluding meeting of the United Teaching. Again, I just want to approach this passage hoping that it will encourage and challenge and motivate and inspire us as we face the coming term. There's really three things that I want to say this evening from this psalm. First of all, that we have an aspiration for the new term. Secondly, I'll speak a little bit about a determination for the new term. And thirdly, an expectation for the new term. So as we look forward to this coming season, with all, yes, it has to be said at times, busyness of family life, business life, church life, just life, let us be challenged and encouraged afresh as we look at this. An aspiration for the new term. It's interesting, in this longest of all the Psalms, and you've got your Bibles open, notice again how it begins. "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." Notice how he ends the psalm, 176 verses later. He says, "Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands." And there's a little principle there, even at the as we step back and we look at these 176 verses. By the way, we're not looking at them all this evening, so do not worry. But he begins by saying, "Lord, here is the blessing for those who walk in this way." And he ends it by saying, "This is how I have walked." There is a message there for all of us. You see it right at the very beginning. And I suppose what I'm trying to get across right at this point is this, that here is an aspiration. You know what it is to aspire to something. It's something that you aim for. It's something that you want to achieve. It's something that you want to do. And the psalmist is aspiring to, by the grace of God, walk in his way. Is that your aspiration as you look into this new term? To walk in the ways of the Lord. To, in the words of a man that I highly respected, and I always heard him say this, and it always stuck with me, to be the very best that we can be by God's grace for Jesus. There's an aspiration for you this evening, brother and sister in Christ. Now remember, running through all that I will say is the understanding that it's only by the grace of God, it's only by the saving power of God in us and through us that we can ever aspire or determine any of these things. This is not some try a little bit harder kind of message. That's not the gospel, that's moralism. Not sure what it is, but it's certainly not the gospel. An aspiration. Notice again, just glance down through what he says. Psalm 119, look at verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Again, can you see what he's aspiring to? There's a longing within his heart and within his soul to really live for the Lord. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. The Christian experience is one of, first of all, coming to Christ, as you know, but of then going on with Christ. We heard that very clearly, I think it was Thursday evening, over in Kilhorne, as William was preaching. We are not called to make a profession to having been saved and then stuck. We are called to make a profession that we've been saved by the grace of God and then to build and to grow and to go on with the Lord Jesus. Oh, that my ways were steadfast, says this believer. And here is a moment when we can search our own hearts. Let me ask you this evening, as I ask myself, because as I've said, as other preachers have said here, no doubt many times, the preacher is always preaching, first of all, to his own heart. Is there a holy aspiration in your heart this evening to really go on with God? Or is it the case that you have become, dare I say, weary in well-doing? So possible to become weary. So possible to allow the circumstances of life to grind you. And if you are not careful, they will grind you down to the point where you don't really, if truth be told, want to serve the Lord in the way that you've been doing. I'm not suggesting you're wanting to walk away from the Lord, but life has just become a burden, too much to bear. And we need to be careful that we do not lose that aspiration to continue to live and serve the Lord. An aspiration for the new term. But let me say something secondly about a determination for the new term. And what I mean here is that the psalmist not only, as it were, says, Lord, oh, that my ways were steadfast. There are a number of places in these early verses where he specifically speaks in a very definite way about some of the things that he will do by God's grace. Let me show you a picture. Well, five pictures. We'll start at the top. Praise God. Someone sitting with a Bible in their lap. A picture with the words in it, seeking God's face. Down at the bottom, the obedient Christian. And over at the side, telling the world. Now we could spend a long time on all of those things. But I just want you to note this evening that in some of these early verses, I know, for example, one of them's a little bit further than we read, but we have some very definite things that the psalmist determines to do. Let me take a minute on each of them. I will praise you. Verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. And we think of praise. What do you think of? I'll not expect you to shout out the answer at this point this evening. But what do you think of when we use the word praise? You will think of maybe singing. You will think of people gathering together as we've been doing. And of course that is praising. But remember, as we have learned over many, many years, that we praise God not just by singing. But day by day, the Reformed principle, the biblical principle, has always been not to divide, as some people do, the sacred from the secular. Some people divide what happens on a Sunday from what happens on a Monday through Saturday. That is not the Reformed way. That is not the biblical way. If we're a Christian today, we're to be a Christian tomorrow. We're to praise the Lord as we sing the hymns and the songs and the psalms and church on a Sunday morning and evening. But we're also to praise the Lord as we go out to milk the cows or to look after the children, to raise a family, to stand in front of a classroom, to drive the lorry. Whatever it is, you can do it to the praise and glory of God. As you know, one of my favorite hymns, Horatius Bonner, "Not for the lip of praise alone, nor yet the praising heart I ask, but for a life made up of praise in every part." Praising God, I will praise him. I will seek, verse 10. Can you see what he says? "I seek you with all my heart." If you say to me, it's in verse 2 as well, you're absolutely right. "Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." How do we seek the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? It means to take time out to literally seek his face. Life is too busy not to seek the Lord. Sometimes people say, life is too busy to seek the Lord. I haven't time to seek the Lord. I'm so busy. Well, if that's the case, you're far too busy. We need to seek God. Again, we could develop this. We're not taking the time to do it this evening. Let me encourage you. Let me say to you, brother and sister in Christ, this evening, take time each day to seek God. It doesn't have to be an hour. If you've got an hour to do that, praise the Lord. It may be 5 or 6 minutes, but better 5 or 6 minutes earnestly seeking God for his help than not seeking him at all. You know the famous verse, Jeremiah 29 and 13, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Are you burdened this evening? Are you troubled? Yes, some of you are. Are you seeking God about that issue? I will seek. Thirdly, I will meditate. The picture of the person sitting with the Word of God on their lap. Look for example at verse 9. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." Young Christian, how can you keep your life pure in the midst of an impure world? By living according to the word of God. Look at verse 15. "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." Let me ask you this. Have you ever had the experience and it's been a struggle and the devil has been at work, and it's a real battle to sit down for even a minute or two to read the Bible? Have you ever stood back and thought about how strange that is? That every day God gives us 24 hours, and yet the concept of sitting even for 5 minutes to read the Bible can be a struggle. What's going on there? Well, I'll tell you what's going on, amongst other things. The devil is at work big time. And what we all need to do is to carve out that time and to sit down, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a big long section, but to take a portion, and it may just be a verse, and to reflect and to meditate upon it. Not just to read it, close the Bible and run off. Meditate. Pause, reflect, chew it over, prayerfully think about what's going on. and ask God to make it a blessing. I will meditate. Fourthly, I will obey. The picture there of the obedient Christian. Again, you're noting these in your Bible. Verse 8, I will obey your decrees. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Or another example, verse 17, do good to your servant and I will live. I will obey your word. Obedience. We live in a world where obedience in some circles has almost become a bad word. There is a generation growing up of, in some parts of our nation, where the concept of children and young people obeying what somebody tells them to do is a foreign language. And yet it is at the heart of the Christian gospel. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. You will keep my commands. This evening, are you obeying? Or are you doing your own thing? There's a word for that. It's disobedience. I will obey. And I will speak. The picture of our little friend telling the world. One example I've moved on, but look at verse 46. You will find other examples. Verse 46, I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. Let me ask you a very direct question. And I don't want you to think about your neighbor. I want you to think about yourself. When was the last time you spoke to someone about the Lord Jesus? I'll reverse. When was the last time you prayed, God, help me to speak to somebody? I'll approach it another way. When was the last time that you plucked up the courage and said to someone something about your own faith or something that might challenge them about how they are spiritually? It's a challenge, isn't it? The psalmist says, I will speak. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses when the Spirit comes. And we are called to bear witness. But we must press on to the third and final principle. Not only an aspiration for the new term, something to aspire to, seeking God. Not only a determination, and these things that we've mentioned, I will praise you, I will seek, I will meditate, I will obey, I will speak. And again, remember what I'm saying. It's only by God's grace that we can do this. But here's the thing. By God's grace, we will want to do this. This is not a list that we tick. This is the Christian life. And the third thing is an expectation for the new term. And what I just want to draw your attention to here in this psalm, and it's something that we could develop, and if you read through this psalm, you will see how the psalmist speaks of it an awful lot. He expects that there will be times that it will be a struggle, but the Lord will be with him. For example, look at verse 22 and 23. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Let me give you a couple of other examples from the rest of the psalm, and you can search out others for yourself. For example, verse 61. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. Verse 69. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. And one other example that I quoted here but a few days ago, but it's a very precious example. Look at verse 92 of Psalm 119. It's one of those verses that you should mark and underline. Psalm 119, verse 92 says this: if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Have you ever found yourself saying, you know, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I would have been utterly, utterly finished? Have you ever found yourself saying, you know, if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus, I would never have coped? That's what the psalmist is saying. And I suppose what I'm just drawing out briefly at this point is this, that the expectation of the psalmist here is that it'll not all be easy. There will be those who will speak ill, those who will slander. There will be problems, there will be trials, there will be even afflictions. And you know, I would love to be able to stand here this evening and say, the Christian life, come to Jesus and everything will be truly wonderful and rosy and easy. You'll never have a problem. If I said that, you would say, what's that man talking about? You'd be right. Because that's not the Christian life. The Christian life has its fair share, and even more, dare I say, at times, of trials and problems and issues. And it'll make no different for any of us. So don't expect that it will. But the expectation in the midst of that is that the Lord will be with us. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You see, the expectation here is not only that there will be the times of trial and struggle and sacrifice and cost, but that in the midst of it, the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, the Lord Himself will be a blessing and a strength and a comfort. Otherwise, we would perish. Otherwise, we would be utterly undone. And so this evening, let me ask you, and let me ask a question. Is there someone here this evening, and if truth be told, you're not yet a believer? Oh, you've come here year upon year. You've heard the gospel. Indeed, if truth be told, you could speak the gospel yourself in the sense of describing what it is and what's required of a person to come and put their trust in Jesus. But for some strange reason, you as yet have never taken that step of bowing the knee to Jesus and repenting and believing in Christ for your salvation. And here this evening, God speaks into your heart and says, come. Come unto me. Why will you tarry? Come. And as you come, for all of us, let's aspire for the new term ahead, that we will be, in the words of my friend, by God's grace, the very best that we can be for Jesus. That we will determine to do all of these things, not in a legalistic way. I'm not interested in legalistic ways. but in obedience to serve the Lord. And we will have an expectation that it will not always be easy, but that in the midst of the afflictions of life, we will be able to say with the psalmist, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished. But your law was my delight. You were with me, Lord, and so I didn't perish. You've seen me through. I have not forgotten your commands," he testifies right at the very end. And may that be our testimony as